an organic order. Implications as to the nature of the order of Baha'u'llah from the writings of Shoghi Effendi by Roger Coe. The world's equilibrium hath been upset through the vibrating influence of this most great, this new world order. Mankind's ordered life hath been revolutionized through the agency of this unique, this wondrous system, the like of which mortal eyes have never witnessed. Say, this is the infallible balance which the hand of God is holding, in which all who are in the heavens and all who are on the earth are weighed and their fate determined. Soon will the present day order be rolled up and a new one spread out in its stead. Verily, thy Lord speaketh the truth and is the knower of things unseen. I testify that no sooner had the first word proceeded through the potency of thy will and purpose out of his mouth, and the first call gone forth from his lips, than the whole creation was revolutionized, and all that are in the heavens and all that are on earth were stirred to the depths. Through that word the realities of all things were shaken, were divided, separated, scattered, combined, and reunited, disclosing in both the contingent world and the heavenly kingdom entities of a new creation, and revealing in the unseen realms the signs and tokens of thy unity and oneness. Through that call thou didst announce unto all thy servants the advent of thy most great revelation and the appearance of thy most perfect cause. What are the implications of the fact that Baha'u'llah has shaken, divided, separated, and scattered the realities of all created things, and combined and reunited them, disclosing entities of a new creation? What is this new and wondrous system, with a new equilibrium and balance, which has revolutionized mankind's ordered life? The claims made by Baha'u'llah regarding the fundamentally new and unique order which came into being with the first word from his mouth are staggering. Staggering likewise must be the spiritual, mental, and physical implications of this reordering of the realities of all created things. His order has permeated the reality of all things, yet can we say that we are consciously manifesting the full potency of its effect in our individual and community lives? If we are fully to appreciate the significance of the internal and external revolution brought about by Baha'u'llah, we must gain an understanding and comprehension of the implications of the philosophical structure of this order. One might ask, what is philosophy, and how would knowledge of the philosophy of Baha'u'llah assist us in our work? The English word philosophy comes from the combination of two Greek words, philos, which means love, and sophos, which means wisdom. Philosophy, in this broad definition, is a love of wisdom or knowledge. Abdu'l-Bahá says that, quote, philosophy consists in comprehending the reality of things as they exist, according to the capacity and the power of man. Footnote 4. The reality of things as they exist is what came into being when Baha'u'llah caused every soul to expire and called into being a new creation. 5. Philosophy consists in the intellectual comprehension of the general nature of this order. A more formal definition for philosophy, according to Alfred North Whitehead, one of the preeminent philosophers of our century, is, quote, the endeavor to frame a coherent, logical, necessary system of general ideas in terms of which every element of our experience can be interpreted. Footnote 6. In the world order of Baha'u'llah, Shoghi Effendi states that Baha'u'llah has, quote, enunciated certain universal principles and propounded a particular philosophy which is potent, sound, and universal. Footnote 7. The order of Baha'u'llah is our all-embracing reality. The particular philosophy given to us by Baha'u'llah is that set of universally operative generalized principles which describe the systemic nature of that order. But Baha'u'llah has not presented this philosophy to us systematically, a task that is up to his followers. Comprehension of the systemic principles of the philosophy underlying this order would assist the entire worldwide community of Baha'is in the systematic application of the principles of the faith, both in the erection of the administrative institutions and in the application of these principles to the practical aspects of life, an arena that the Universal House of Justice has recently called upon the community to enter. If the Baha'is were to gain a comprehension of the faith in terms of a system of general ideas, our actions, both as individuals and as members of institutions, would be provided with a more consistent organizational structure. If this generalized understanding were to be based on the whole revelation of Baha'u'llah and set out systematically according to appropriate logic, rationality, and the capacity and power of man, we would all have the same generalized understanding of the faith and its purposes and processes. With such agreement and a collective understanding, our priorities, goals, plans, programs, and methods could become more harmoniously integrated and continually focused on the most important tasks in our path. The time is coming in the near future when such an efficient organization of the general idea of the faith will be eminently useful. Shoghi Effendi speaks of, quote, the entry by troops of peoples of diverse nations and races into the Baha'i world, which will be the prelude to that long-awaited hour when a mass conversion on the part of these same nations and races, and as a direct result of a chain of events, momentous and possibly catastrophic in nature, will suddenly revolutionize the fortunes of the faith, derange the equilibrium of the world, and reinforce a thousandfold the numerical strength as well as the material power and the spiritual authority of the faith of Baha'u'llah. Footnote 8. If we, as the troops, do not discipline ourselves now in order to prepare for the discipline and order required of that day, the work of the faith will suffer from its own disarray as well as from that caused by the universal convulsions. Whatever we do now to provide for the organization and ordering of the educational work ahead of us, when there will be 1,000 new believers for every one of us who is currently in the faith, will make our work that much more efficient and effective. The elaboration of the philosophy of Baha'u'llah has received very little systematic attention up to this point. This will be a monumental task, which will continue into the future for centuries to come. At this present juncture, we can do little more than scratch the surface of what Shoghi Effendi has described as a tremendous work which scholars in the future can undertake, the task of, quote, correlating philosophy with the Baha'i teachings. Footnote 9. Part 1. The Task. Where does one begin with such a task? The philosophy hasn't been specifically set out by Baha'u'llah. Rather, it is implicit within his order. We must begin, therefore, with a study of the nature of the order of Baha'u'llah. For through a comprehensive study of the faith, we will be able increasingly to unfold to our consciousness the fundamental philosophy underlying this order. As this order permeates the reality of all things, we can observe its manifestations everywhere. Let's explore where we might look for expressions of this order that are systematically complete. Baha'u'llah has given us at least 4 arenas wherein this order has been given perfect expression. 1. The order of nature, where, quote, upon the inmost reality of every created thing, he hath shed the light of one of his names. Footnote 10. 2. The soul of man, which has the capacity to reflect all the names and attributes of God. Footnote 11. 3. The revealed word of Baha'u'llah. And 4. The elucidation of the principles of the administrative order by Shoghi Effendi, expounder of the word of God. This paper will be primarily concerned with the investigation and discovery of Baha'u'llah's philosophy from the perspective of Shoghi Effendi's elucidation of the principles of the administrative order. We will look at the broad outlines of the administrative principles, identify their fundamental nature, and attempt to comprehend something of their systemic structure. Taken as a whole, these principles constitute the structure of the order of Baha'u'llah and are the only example we have of a systematic, infallible expression of this order from a human mind. As we contemplate the structure of the administrative order, we will also search the writings of Baha'u'llah and Abdu'l-Bahá's order. To move into Baha'u'llah's reality will require a fundamental shift in our philosophical orientation, somewhat comparable in structure to the revolutions in science brought about by comprehension of new and fundamentally different, yet more explanatory, conceptualizations of the nature of reality. To state it more concisely, this paper will attempt, 1. To move us a step closer toward the systematization of the underlying principles of the natural organic philosophy that lies enshrined in the writings of Baha'u'llah by ordering the principles of the administrative order, which have been broadly outlined by Shoghi Effendi, as a specific instance or expression of that universal philosophy. 2. To relate these various principles to overarching indications of the nature of the contingent, and 3. to indicate some of the systematically inherent problems we will face as a community and as individuals in making such a fundamental philosophical shift of world views as we move more fully into the order of Baha'u'llah. What is the relationship of the order of Baha'u'llah to the administrative order as elaborated by Shoghi Effendi? In his marvelous history of the first century of the Baha'i faith, Shoghi Effendi has indicated that there are several different levels of expression for this new order. Quote, "It should be noted in this connection that in the third vahed of this book, the Persian Bayan, there occurs a passage which, alike in its explicit reference to the name of the Promised One and in its anticipation of the order which, in a later age, was to be identified with his revelation, deserves to rank as one of the most significant statements recorded in any of the Bab's works, writings. Well is it with him, is his prophetic announcement, who fixeth his gaze upon the order of Baha'u'llah, and rendereth thanks unto his Lord, for he will assuredly be made manifest. God hath indeed irrevocably ordained it in the Bayan. It is with that self-same order that the founder of the promised revelation, 20 years later, incorporating that same term in his Kitab-e Aqdas, identified the system envisaged in that book, affirming that this most great order had deranged the world's equilibrium and revolutionized mankind's ordered life. It is the features of that self-same order which, at a later stage in the evolution of the faith, the center of Baha'u'llah's covenant and the appointed interpreter of his teachings delineated through the provisions of his will and testament. It is the structural basis of that self-same order which in the formative age of that same faith, the stewards of that same covenant, the elected representatives of the worldwide Baha'i community are now laboriously and unitedly establishing. It is the superstructure of that self-same order attaining its full stature through the emergence of the Baha'i World Commonwealth, the Kingdom of God on Earth, which the golden age of that same dispensation must, in the fullness of time, ultimately witness. Footnote 12. You will note in this passage references to several different levels, generalizations, or abstractions of the order of Baha'u'llah. Each is identified on a level one step further removed, with the self-same order of which the Bab spoke. There is the order itself, which has deranged the world's equilibrium. There are the features of the order, which were delineated by Abdu'l-Bahá. There is the structural basis of the order, which is the administrative order of the Baha'i faith. And finally, there is the superstructure of the order, which is the Baha'i World Commonwealth. In a certain sense, each of the stages of the elaboration of the order brings the order of Baha'u'llah more and more into the realm of the visible. The word is spoken, and the underlying realities are changed. As reality is reality, we have nothing against which to contrast it, no way to perceive a difference except through spiritual intuition. The features of this reality are delineated by Abdu'l-Bahá in his will and testament, a document we also know as the Charter of the New World Order. Footnote 13. The administrative order, the structural basis of the order of Baha'u'llah, was developed and elaborated by Shoghi Effendi from the Will and Testament and the Kitab-e Aqdas. The institutions of the faith are the visible manifestations of this aspect of the order. These institutions will serve as the nucleus and very pattern of the superstructure, the Baha'i World Commonwealth, which will manifest an entirely new culture and civilization as an expression of the order of Baha'u'llah. In defining our task as it relates to the structural basis of this order, Shoghi Effendi has called the American believers the champion builders of the organic structure of the cause. Footnote 14. This is our supreme mission, the task wherein we will discharge our high destiny if we, looking within ourselves, find the capacity and resolution to arise to accomplish it. And this task, which will be an ongoing task throughout the formative age of the faith, is none other than the erection of the administrative order of the faith of Baha'u'llah, the supreme infallible organ for the accomplishment of a divine purpose. Footnote 15. But the efficacy of the administrative order, which the friends around the world are constructing, must depend upon the degree to which we as individuals understand and pattern in our own spiritual lives the character and nature of Baha'u'llah's order. In the words of Shoghi Effendi, quote, "Upon our present-day efforts, and above all, upon the extent to which we strive to remodel our lives after the pattern of sublime heroism associated with those gone before us, must depend the efficacy of the instruments we now fashion, instruments that must erect the structure of that blissful commonwealth which must signalize the golden age of our faith. Footnote 16. And again, quote, "The Baha'i faith, like all other divine religions, is fundamentally mystic in character. Its chief goal is the development of the individual and society through the acquisition of spiritual virtues and powers. Laws and institutions can become really effective only when our inner spiritual life has been perfected and transformed." Footnote 17. Efficacy also depends on an understanding of our relationship to the administrative order and its institutions, and practice of the divinely ordained administrative principles, footnote 18, revealed by Baha'u'llah. The Universal House of Justice has stated, quote, "As the Baha'i administrative order rapidly expands throughout the world, it behooves everyone associated with it to familiarize himself with its principles, to understand its import, and to put its precepts into practice. Only as individual members of local spiritual assemblies deepen themselves in the fundamental verities of the faith and in the proper application of the spirit principles governing the operation of the assembly will this institution grow and develop toward its full potential." Footnote 19. As we strive in our communities to promote the healthy growth of the institutions, we each carry with us a personal conceptualization of the nature of our task and the system of laws and principles which serve as the basis of the work we are performing. It is the nature of life in this framework that is the product of our individual capacities taken together with our environment. And that doesn't make sense. We must gain an intellectual honesty and humility in discharging our tasks, which constantly inform us that Baha'u'llah's order is something different from what we could ever imagine, especially at this early stage in the development of the faith, and that our first obligation is continually to strive to deepen our understanding of the significance of Baha'u'llah's revelation. Footnote 20. Chogyi Effendi has encouraged the friends to unite through a, quote, "thorough understanding of the basic laws and principles of Baha'i administration," end quote, encouraging and instructing the friends to, quote, "deepen their knowledge through both study and practice of all the administrative teachings of the faith." Footnote 21. This study and practice is very necessary because we are dealing with a new system based on the order of Baha'u'llah, which has no precedent in the past. Both Abdu'l-Bahá and Chogyi Effendi, in establishing and elaborating the broad outlines of the guiding principles underlying the world order of Baha'u'llah, footnote 22, have conformed this system to the principles of that universal philosophy of Baha'u'llah. The Guardian has comprehensively defined the broad outlines and essential theory, footnote 23, of the administrative order, and has presented to us its fundamental principles in his many letters, which he has scattered throughout the Baha'i world. Its essential nature is that it is organic in character. The philosophical principles upon which the theory of the administrative order is based are the same philosophical principles underlying the order of Baha'u'llah. The Universal House of Justice, in its letter of 20 October 1983, has encouraged the worldwide Baha'i community to apply, quote, "more systematically the principles of the faith," end quote. It has indicated in that same letter the necessity of quote, "ordering human affairs in such a way as to bring into being a world unified in all the essential aspects of its life through the achievement of a dynamic coherence between the spiritual and practical requirements of life on earth." Footnote 24. Would we not find that a greater awareness of this larger system, this order, and its systemic principles that lie at the base of our administrative order, and that of necessity must also underlie every aspect of the created world, for example, science, philosophy, and our individual souls, would enhance every aspect of our lives as Baha'is? Would we not find that such an awareness would improve the quality of our consultation, increase our understanding of the implications of the statement that the faith is, quote, "scientific in its method," footnote 25, uplift the quality of our spiritual lives, and give to us the comprehensive understanding we need in order to expand our spiritual and practical capacities to serve mankind, both as individuals and as members of the institutions within the administrative order? Would not an understanding of this universal philosophy underlying the order of Baha'u'llah contribute to the efficacious discharge of every task we face as Baha'is, and most especially that which we face in the construction of the administrative order? Through the systematic study and ordering of these divinely ordained principles, we may plunge to a greater depth of awareness and bring to bear a more comprehensive and whole understanding of the character and functioning of the administrative order, which it is our duty and privilege to unfold as the champion builders of the organic structure of the cause. The following is a wonderful passage recently released to the English-speaking world in the compilation The Importance of Deepening Our Knowledge and Understanding of the Faith, wherein Shoghi Effendi stated what we might expect to occur in our lives if we were to deduce the natural philosophy from the writings of Baha'u'llah. Quote, "Praise be to God that the spirit of the holy writings and tablets which have been revealed in this wondrous dispensation concerning matters of major or minor importance, whether essential or otherwise, related to the sciences and the arts, to natural philosophy, literature, politics, or economics, has so permeated the world that since the inception of the world in the course of past dispensations and bygone ages, nothing like it has ever been seen or heard. Indeed, if an avowed follower of Baha'u'llah were to immerse himself in and fathom the depths of the ocean of these heavenly teachings, and with utmost care and attention deduce from each of them the subtle mysteries and consummate wisdom that lie enshrined therein, such a person's life, materially, intellectually, and spiritually, will be safe from toil and trouble, and unaffected by setbacks and perils, or any sadness or despondency." Reference 26. Of course, the philosophy of the order of Baha'u'llah also bears upon the mystical and spiritual worlds. The focus here, however, is on the contingent world, because that is where the organization of our collective institutional work must be accomplished. I feel that it is not only possible for us to deduce the principles of the philosophy of Baha'u'llah, but also necessary if we are to apply systematically the principles of the faith to the spiritual and practical requirements of life. Through the writings of Baha'u'llah, we have been presented with a grand new scheme which affects every aspect of our lives, our sciences, our religions, our philosophical systems, our cultures, and even our individual thoughts and habits have been conditioned and previously limited by the constraints of an old order which has had its day and passed on, rolled up through the revelation of Baha'u'llah, but its residual pattern remains, a skeletal structure decaying into oblivion, yet still casting its shadow and limiting our vision of the new order whose structure even now permeates the essence of the entire creation. The changing of the order at the dawn of the Baha'i dispensation occurred, and none of us witnessed this change. Yet each of us has been struck, in a certain sense, with a perception of the difference in orders, or we would not have accepted the faith of Baha'u'llah. But recognition at that spiritual level, which was sealed by our declaration of faith, does not necessarily imply that we have recognized that the order has changed for all other realms, nor does it guarantee our total comprehension of the systemic nature of the order as it applies to those realms, realms such as philosophy, science, culture, and individual thought and habit. We live and operate in this contingent world and are subject to its conditions and limitations. The administrative order is to be constructed in this contingent world. Our sciences and philosophies operate in the contingent world. And though we are all recipients of divine bestowals, though our religion is fundamentally mystic in character, in our collective work, we must honor the limitations imposed by the contingent world. Examples of these limitations are the constraints imposed by science, if we are truly to become scientific in our method. The, quote, knowledge of things which men universally have, which is gained by reflection or evidence, as distinct from purely intuitive, subjective knowledge, reference 27, and the attributes and characteristics of contingency spoken of by Baha'u'llah as such as distinction, differentiation, temporal limitations, characteristics, and standards, reference 28. The reason we must honor these limitations is that the faith is a collective entity. It is focused on the spiritual and organic unification of mankind. Its chief instrument is the administrative order, which is concerned primarily with the nature of those essential relationships that must bind all the states and nations as members of one human family. Footnote 29. The authority within the order is concentrated, quote, in the hands of the elected, reference 30, whose method of working toward this organic unity is consultation. And as Shoghi Effendi says, the faith must be scientific in its method. Each of our institutional entities must operate in the contingent world. Thus, each must find the justification for its actions in that, quote, knowledge of things which men universally have, and not through the spiritual or mystical guidance of any particular individual. Essentially, they are subject to the constraints of science, intellectual understanding, comprehension, rationality, and verification. Footnote 31. But the principle of the science we apply must be according to Baha'u'llah's order and Abdu'l-Bahá's elucidations, and this is not necessarily the same science as was found in the old order. The scientific world has accepted the notion of relativity, Einstein's E equals mc squared, as being a fundamental change in the perception of the structure of the universe, a truth that our own faith insists upon. Reference 32. But the truth of relativity has yet to permeate individual thought and society to the extent that we act completely with this fundamental reality as our basis. Decrying the gap separating the scientist and his empirically based conception of reality from the everyday thought, habit, and implicit perception of reality held by the majority of the people, the eminent scientist and philosopher Jacob Bronowski says, quote, "The long success of the rigid model of nature has made it part of the vernacular. We think by habit of nature as a causal, continuous, and independent mechanism which thumps along inexorably while we peck or goggle at it. This is no longer the scientist's picture. The new thought in science is based on new facts. These critical facts will not fit a framework which insists that natural laws must be causal, continuous, and independent of us. And it is useless to insist on habit and metaphysic in the face of the facts. We must learn a more delicate conception of the laws of nature. Science is not the imposition of our logic on nature, but the arduous understanding of her own." Reference 33. Science is essentially the employment of our intellectual capacity as a mirror for reflecting upon creation, but this mirror is structured by our own conception of the nature of reality, that is, our philosophy or world view. As we use the capacities of our souls to imagine different conceptualizations of reality, we discover that a new and different framework often allows us to see new facts. As these new conceptualizations are tested against empirical reality, our comprehension of a greater part of the system of reality follows. Applied scientists then bring these principles into manifestation on the physical plane, and the philosophers and basic scientists move on to try to comprehend other mysteries of the nature of the contingent world. Reference 34. In Abdu'l-Bahá's words, science may be likened to a mirror, wherein the images of the mysteries of outer phenomena are reflected. The philosophical conclusions of bygone centuries, the teachings of the prophets, and wisdom of former sages are crystallized and reproduced in the scientific advancement of today. 35. The realities with which scientists are now dealing, the new facts of science, are not the apparent facts of everyday life. They are facts that are most apparent at the atomic and subatomic levels, or on the level of galaxies and universes. Yet they serve as part of the underpinning for the structure of the entire creation, including the biological level where our perceptual senses inform us about reality. These new facts, which force a new conception of the structure of the world, imply the necessity for us to conceptualize the reality of creation through a new set of lenses. They indicate that we should inform reality according to concepts such as unity, relativity, information, wholeness, and process, rather than only in terms of energy, stasis, and things. But since we don't see processes, but rather things, or the product of processes, we naturally tend to regard our reality as a noun rather than as a verb, that is, an active dynamic process. Even the subject-predicate structure of the English language reinforces this misconception of reality. Abdu'l-Bahá has indicated that we must make what may be regarded as intellectual adjustments or corrections to the concept of the structure of reality we gain as a product of our perceptual systems, so that our conception will conform more closely to the essential reality. Quote, "Insight, or mental perception, seeth that which sight, or physical perception, seeth not, and apprehendeth that which the body perceiveth not, but the insight correcteth the mistake of the sight, and apprehendeth the reality." Reference 36. Discoveries of empirical fact during this past century, which must necessarily affect our entire philosophical orientation to the contingent world, are commonly known to many scientists who have taken the time to look beyond their specialized realms. And the Baha'i scholar, who studies the tablets of Baha'u'llah and keeps current in the general scientific literature, sees a fresh marvel of correspondence and relationship unfold nearly every day. Bearing in mind the general and pervasive character of Baha'u'llah's revelation, Baha'is must set about the work of deducing the subtle mysteries and consummate wisdom from his teachings and discover the principles by which we may order the scientific, philosophical, political, and economic life of humanity on earth. The principles are all there in broad outline in the teachings of Baha'u'llah and the interpretations of Abdu'l-Bahá and Shoghi Effendi. But Shoghi Effendi could not do all the work of elaborating these systems by himself, so it is left to us to carry on. In this connection, one of the things that Shoghi Effendi has left to us is the task of exhaustive analysis of the relationships between the institutions of the faith, as well as their connection to Baha'u'llah and his teachings. In the world order of Baha'u'llah, in explaining the character and functions of the institutions of the guardianship and the universal house of justice, Shoghi Effendi limits his intention to the elaboration of, quote, "certain salient features of this scheme which are already so clearly defined that we find it inexcusable to either misconceive or ignore," and bequeaths to future generations these other tasks. Quote, "To define with accuracy and minuteness the features, and to analyze exhaustively the nature of the relationships which, on the one hand, bind together these two fundamental organs of the will of Abdu'l-Bahá, and connect, on the other, each of them to the author of the faith and the center of his covenant." Reference 37. This paper aims towards the process of furthering the exhaustive analysis of the nature of these relationships and the connection of these organs, as well as other aspects of the administrative order, to the particular, sound, and universal philosophy of the author of the faith and the center of his covenant. We will begin this process by listing some of the fundamental administrative principles of this organic order. Reference 38. Part 2. The Principles of the Administrative Order. The great blessing which is Shoghi Effendi's legacy to the Baha'i world and to the world in general is that he has, through the divine bestowals of Baha'u'llah, the Bab, and Abdu'l-Bahá, and in his station as the expounder of the cause, drawn the outline and elucidated the fundamental structure of that system, the order of Baha'u'llah, as it applies to the administrative order of the faith. The fundamental character of that order he defines as organic. In various references he identifies it as a living organism, calls it the infallible organ for the accomplishment of a divine purpose, identifies the administrative order as the organic structure of the cause, speaks of the supreme mission of the revelation of Baha'u'llah as being the achievement of the organic and spiritual unity of the whole body of nations, calls the Universal House of Justice the supreme organ of the Baha'i Commonwealth. Perhaps the Guardian's most completely elaborated analogy of the administrative order as an organism is the passage which appeared in the 1948 printing of the European Teaching Committee Manual and was reprinted at the beginning of Principles of Baha'i Administration. Shoghi Effendi speaks of the necessity of the interplay between the perfected body, that is, the administrative world order, built up to a point of absolute perfection, and the Holy Spirit of the cause, pouring forth from the channels within. The spirit of the cause is analogous to the finer promptings of the soul or spirit, which are structured by perfect guidance and authorized interpretation, while the perfected body, the institutions and laws of the administrative order, is seen as the ordered and organized channel through which wisdom and the lights of real unity will shine through consultative action and obedience thereto. He links that order to the divine purpose for this age, which is no less than the establishment of the reign of divine love, justice, and wisdom in the world under and in conformity to the divine law. Reference 44. The Guardian carries this example even further, calling the body of man the true divine example or parallel to the administrative order, saying, quote, "The spirit, when in ideal control of all the lesser parts of the organism, finds the utmost harmony throughout the whole body. Each part is in perfect reciprocity with the other parts. The commands and impulses of the spirit are obeyed by the body, and the body, in turn, in its actions and functions, identifies and determines the expression the spiritual impulses shall take. This is divine unity, and this law, being universal and found in every created object in the universe, has full application to the universal Baha'i organism made up of believers everywhere, which has been established by the manifestation of God." Reference 45. This entire passage is fraught with implications which will be unfolded to the Baha'i world as our institutions demonstrate their capacity to achieve this divine unity through their consultative action, and as scholars and scientists of the future learn more concerning the control and communication processes of the true divine example, the body of man. A word should be said at this point concerning Choghi Effendi's choice for a parallel to the organic functioning of the administrative order. In identifying the body of man as the true divine example, he has removed the possibility that we could, through our mistaken apprehension of the processes of the cause, reduce our concept of the nature of its functioning to a lower kingdom, such as the animal or vegetable worlds. Just as the body of man is endowed with certain capacities that are lacking in the lower kingdoms, capacities such as will, spiritual receptivity, rationality, and intellect, the administrative order, through processes inscrutable to us at present, is endowed with similar capacities. The collective of human hearts and minds, which we call a spiritual assembly, is in reality one entity, with one heart and one mind, when it functions in the utmost unity. Choghi Effendi's choice of the human body as the central metaphor for the administrative order did not arise from nothingness. One can see the central place of the human body in several aspects of the Baha'i revelation. From the little-known fact that the five-pointed star, which symbolizes the temple of man, is the symbol of the Baha'i faith. Reference 46. To the potentiality for reflection of all the names and attributes of God in the human soul. To the writing of some of the most important tablets of Baha'u'llah in the form of a pentangle, reference 47, again as a symbol of the human temple, to the appearance of the five-pointed star on the ringstone symbol, which symbolizes the manifestation or God in human form. It would serve us well to meditate upon the significance of this statement from the Guardian, and not to allow ourselves to be lulled into a conception of the administrative order as a lifeless mechanical entity set in a determined, unchangeable course. The central metaphor of the administrative order is the human body, because of the centrality of the metaphor of the human body for the philosophy of the order of Baha'u'llah. What we will do now is take a look at a host of other references in the writings of Choghi Effendi, in which he speaks of the principles, characteristics, functions, attributes, and qualities that define the nature of this organic order. For the sake of making the whole more understandable, these attributes will be set out within three particular categories: unity, dynamism, and system. This is only one of many possible ways of ordering the whole, and scholars in the future will undoubtedly find many other ways. It is important to keep in mind, however, that we are dealing with an organic whole, which expresses its vitality largely as a function of the unity of all of these attributes, and that breaking it apart for analysis is only one small, though necessary, part of understanding its function, structure, and purpose. Viewing the administrative order in its wholeness, both before and after analysis of its discrete attributes, is most essential to the entire process. In categorizing the principles of the administrative order, I have placed them into particular groupings where these principles seem to be consonant with broad categories of principles gleaned from the theory of the biological and organismic sciences. These categories are few in number, but have profound implications for the organization of our thoughts concerning the nature of the organic instruments we are constructing. The first category is unity, which, in the words of Shoghi Effendi, relates to the cornerstone of Baha'u'llah's world-embracing dominion, reference 48. The second category concerns dynamism, the developmental, ever-changing nature of organisms in general, while the third category considers the system, the orderly nature of organisms. Unity. The Guardian speaks of the law of divine unity, the organic and spiritual unity of the whole body of nations as the supreme mission of the faith, the administrative order as the channel, the instrument, and the embodiment of the spirit, and the concentration of authority in the hands of the elected. He quotes Abdu'l-Bahá, naming the Guardian the interpreter of the Word of God, identifies a function of the Guardian as being the preserver of the identity of the Baha'u'llah's faith and the integrity of Baha'u'llah's law, calls the House of Justice the supreme organ, and speaks of the bond which links the two fundamental organs and the connection of each of them to the author of the faith and the center of his covenant. He further indicates that the lights of real unity shine through consultation, reiterates Abdu'l-Bahá's preference for unity in decision of the elected representatives, describes in dynamic terms the unity in perfect reciprocity when the parts of the body are animated and controlled by the spirit, proclaims the necessity for uniformity in all Baha'i national constitutions, and speaks of the faith's cohesive strength and integrating power. In conclusion, he proclaims that the basis of the administrative order rests on a particular philosophy which is potent, sound, and universal, assures us that the nature, origin, and validity of the institutions has derived from the identity of purpose and method of the Most Holy Book and the Will and Testament of Abdu'l-Bahá, and indicates that no abiding benefit can be conferred upon the component parts if the general interests of the entity itself are ignored or neglected. These were references 49 through 65. Dynamism. The second category is concerned with the dynamic, developmental, ever-changing nature of the organism of the administrative order. Shoghi Effendi speaks of the elasticity which characterizes the functions of the appointed ministers that enables the faith, even as a living organism, to expand and adapt itself to the needs and requirements of an ever-changing society, indicates that the machinery has been so fashioned that whatever is deemed necessary to incorporate into it in order to keep it in the forefront of all progressive movements can be safely embodied therein. Quotes Abdu'l-Bahá as saying, "The House of Justice is both the initiator and abrogator of its own laws," and describes the faith's processes as a slow and unobtrusive development into maturity. He also indicated that social progress is impelled by the same process of mystic, all-pervasive, yet indefinable change associated with the development of the fruit, proclaims that we live in a world subject to the immutable law of change, speaks of the vitality of the organic institutions, the vibrant body of the faith of Baha'u'llah, and the reciprocity existing among its parts, and lastly, indicates that change, in membership of the spiritual assembly, is good and brings a fresh outlook into the discussions of any assembly. These are references 66 through 74. System. The third category of consideration is the systemic, orderly nature of the organic body of the administrative order. The Guardian identifies this organism with the order and system foretold by the Bab in the Persian Bayan and revealed by Baha'u'llah in his Most Holy Book, calls it the divine polity, a world-enfolding system, a world-embracing, divinely appointed order, and the infallible organ for the accomplishment of a divine purpose, asks us to meditate upon the supreme grandeur of the system unfolded by the hand of Baha'u'llah, indicated that the philosophy at its base is potent and sound, that religious truth is not absolute but relative, and that the faith concerns itself primarily with the fundamental relationships that bind the family of man. Moreover, he extols the capacity of the faith to be purged, purified, stirred, galvanized, pruned, and to have its unity cemented, identifies its dead leaves, identifies as dead leaves the lukewarm and faint-hearted, which wither away, and says that assemblies, committees, and conventions rise or fall according to their capacity to embody the ideals and execute the purpose of the Baha'i faith. He indicated that the apostles of Baha'u'llah in every land have before them in clear, in unequivocal, and emphatic language all the laws, the regulations, the principles, the institutions, the guidance they require for the prosecution and consummation of their task. Says, the law of Baha'u'llah insists upon the subordination of national interests to the imperative claims of a unified world, repudiates excessive centralization, disclaims all attempts at uniformity, calls its watchword unity and diversity, and asks us to sweep away and relegate to the limbo of obsolescent and forgotten doctrines, institutions, social assumptions, and religious formulae which have ceased to promote the welfare of the generality of mankind, extols the infinite diversity of the national characteristics of the world, future world's federated units, identifies the method of the faith